This is Jim Boning from the Beckman Center for the History of Chemistry. Today is the 9th of September, 1988, and I'm here in Midland, Michigan, talking to Dr. Mac Pruitt. The purpose of our meeting today is to talk about the Council for Chemical Research. Dr. Pruitt, you were the founder of the CCR, which came out of a meeting here in Midland in 1979, but I'd like to go back before that time. What transpired before September of 79 to bring you to that conference?
Okay. In the late 70s, like 77, 78, there was a big movement on through the scientific community in the U.S. stating that we were about to lose our technology lead in the world, and Japan and Europe were catching up with us and passing us, and we're getting more patents, and we were going to become second rate as far as technology. Now, I didn't necessarily think that was true with the chemical industry, but seemingly in other areas maybe they were right. Anyway, they were having a lot of big symposiums in Washington, Massachusetts, and here and yonder, talking about this subject. And what they would do, they would invite a lot of well-known names of scientists and public figures, and they would have these big symposiums, and they would talk about it. I got invited to some of them. Then they'd go home, and that was it. A lot of conversation, but no action, nothing. I got concerned about this. Maybe even the chemical industry would be caught up in this. So I said to myself, well, if this is really true, somebody ought to do something about it. Well, the second thing, a lot of these conversations began to come out that, well, one of the main reasons that we were losing our technology was the fact that the industry and universities were no longer cooperating. In fact, they had almost become antagonistic to each other. That is the scientific part, which I guess was really true. Primarily from two reasons. One, during the war in the 60s, all the funding for universities' basic research was coming from government, and they had more or less washed out industry as a source of revenue. And also, during the 60s, you know, when they were rebelling against everybody, everybody began to call profit dirty name, dirty word, and industry was a dirty word. So the universities kind of went their way and took their funding from universities, from government. And at the same time, I think industry became rather sophisticated in their research efforts, spent a lot of money. And, of course, they were pushing for more applied research and money that something would make money. And they began to look down on university as a second-rate research effort and wasn't really worth looking into. In fact, I might even been a party of that myself to some extent. I don't know. But anyway, because of several reasons, they had parted their ways. Started talking to each other, and by several speeches and things I had looked into prior, I knew back in the 20s and 30s, maybe even the 40s, that industry and the universities had really cooperated with each other, and that's where all our technology, for instance, Herbert Dow himself was a big university man, and most of his support came from people back from the university, and he worked closely with them, closely with the ACS, and it was just a kind of a mutual agreement between the university people and industry people that they work together. And I think because of that cooperation, we did in the 30s come up with a lot of breakthroughs in chemistry in the U.S. But that soon, because of the war and then the Vietnam War and all the other things, that faded away. So I said to myself, if it's really true we are losing our edge, and it's really true that university and industry are at odds, and that's one of the reasons why we're losing it, then we ought to do something about it. And I also said to myself, if two friends are unhappy with each other, how do you get them to working together again? And the only way I know to get them to working together again is to get them together and let them talk to each other. And first thing you know, they understand each other's problems, and what the first thing you know, they're happy with each other and they're talking and working together again. So we said to ourselves, well, we can't take, if we're losing our technical edge and the university industry is a problem, we can't take on the whole world and all phases of this science. The only thing we can really take on is the chemical industry side. That's big enough. So we looked at it strictly from the chemical industry research scientist people versus university people in the chemical sciences and engineering. We just take on that one piece because, well, the whole was too big for one group. So then we said to ourselves, okay, if we're trying to get the parties together, who are the parties that you want to get together? And we thought about that a while, and we decided the parties had to be in the chemical science and engineering. They had to be the heads of the research community in industry, chemical industry, and the heads of the chemistry and chem engineering departments. That was the people that could bring about this unity, if anybody could. So we said, okay, let's go do something about it. Let's just don't go have a big symposium to talk about it. If we're going to have something, let's be sure that we have a follow-up. Whatever comes out of this, that we're going to do something after that. And we're going to look into it, and we're going to do something. I don't know what it is exactly, but we're going to do something. We're not just going to talk. That's one of the criteria. So we in Dow, I got talking with my scientist about what we should do and how we could bring this about. So we decided to hold a scientific conference. And so we decided to have a 2.5-day session. And that we would invite, at that time, I knew practically all the heads of the research departments in the chemical industry. I knew them personally. So I called up a lot of those people, talked this over with them, and got their opinions, and they thought it would be a good idea. I also told them that I was going to make a proposal of some kind. Where we could follow up on it. Whether that was going to be it or not, I'd make it and they could work on it. We also decided that we were going to invite the heads of the chemistry and chem engineering departments, all the universities, and we picked out a list. We didn't pick out everybody, but we picked out about 60. And I don't remember exactly the criteria we used for this, mainly because somebody knew somebody or something in Dow, or some of the people in the other companies knew somebody. We made a list of about 64 universities the first time. And we also knew that we set several precedents in this conference that's carried on. We also knew that these people didn't have enough money to run off and attend conferences like this without some help. So we decided now we would pay their ways to the conference and provide all their expenses so they could come and attend, so they wouldn't have to take it out of their research money, which was fairly expensive for company. In fact, that conference cost me about $250,000. A lot of the people in the other company asked me, how in the world did you get your management to approve that kind of expenditure to do something like that? And I said, well, you want to know the truth? I didn't ask them. I don't know if you want to put that down or not, but I knew my management well enough that they had a lot of faith in me, and they knew I was trying to accomplish something worthwhile. And when they did hear about it, they backed me. Office was the keynote speaker. Earl Barnes, who was chairman of the board, was very much behind it. So I didn't have any trouble with Dow. In fact, later on, when we were having trouble getting a second meeting sponsor, Paul said to me, why don't you hold it again? And I said, no, I don't want to do this. I want this to be a chemical industry thing, not a Dow thing. We just happened to get it started. So we set up and decided to have a two and a half day conference with 2 days of, we didn't know exactly what to put in such a conference, but we felt like we 2.5 days of just talking problems wasn't a very good idea. So we decided to have 2 days of technology, and then only a half a day of broaching the problem that we were going to address from here on out. But we wanted to get everybody thinking together about a lot of technology. So we tried to pick out, and I have a, I don't know if we've ever seen our program or not. Our first program?
I think we have a copy somewhere in the finals. But
we picked out what we thought were some of the leading edge of technology, or the main technologies like polymers and agricultural chemicals and biotechnology and on. And we looked for the world's authority in every case. And we got some excellent speakers, some of them Nobel Prize winners, by the way. And so for two days, we talked technology. Then the last day, we broached the subject of how can we bring the university and industry together. Now, from the very beginning, the first night when we brought these guys in here, university people, industry people, but particularly university people, you could see that we did have a real problem, because everybody from the university particularly was a big question mark. What are these guys up to now? Oh, what's fixing to take place? You know, they couldn't figure anybody would spend their money to invite us here, pay our way, much less, so they're bound to be up to some scheme. So there was a kind of a aura of suspicion or wonderment all through the conference, you know, and which you would kind of expect under the circumstances. Most of the people never met each other. And we not only found that there was a difference between industry and universities, but there was a big difference between engineering and chemistry. Some of the people in the school who met it had never met each other. I'm serious. The head of the engineering department and the head of the chemistry department didn't even know each other, never spoken to each other, which is just unbelievable. Then we found also that there was a big gap between public universities and private universities in the funding and a lot of things that I'd never even thought about, you know. So there were more schisms and among that group than you could shake a stick at. Also, we didn't even think about this, but a lot of chemistry professors got their necks out of joint, and they even called a special caucus of their own one night to collaborate, and they wanted the floor the next day, which we wouldn't give them till the program was over. But and the reason they did, which we never even suspected, if you look at the program, we picked the best speaker we could, but not a single one of them was from the chemistry department. Now, this tells you something, because if you go cover all of the main things of the chemical industry and not a single one of the major speakers is from chemistry department, what are they in the in mainstream or not, you know? And you know, when after I look at the Pimentel report, they picked the same topics. Well, I would have certainly invited some of the chemistry department to speak on some fundamental stuff. See, what the chemistry department does, they tend to work on the very fundamental things, and then it floats over into chemistry, into polymers and biotechnology and, you know, whatever, which is some good, some bad, but that's the way it is, and it's not all bad. Stop it. Yeah, head of our patent department. Yeah, let's see, where was I?
You were talking about the chemistry now talking to chemical engineering, or that chemists were more fundamental, and then it moved over into the other areas.
Yeah. Well, okay, I was talking about this whole meeting was one big... I just sat and watched the diverse groups maneuvering and playing their part. I never dreamed there'd be that much, in a way, suspicion, concern. I think all very probably as it should be. And this just shows you the lack of understanding and having talked with each other for so long. It just and I think CCR over the period has done an immense amount of good in bringing together all these people. But now we can go to into any of these meetings almost and propose most anything, and they hardly raise their head. But boy, anything we talked about there, you know, they tense up and wonder, now, what are you fixing to do to us now? In fact, the chemistry department, as I said, had a special caucus that they wanted to present their specific problem. And we did let them speak the next day in the right time. But we had answered a lot of their questions after we hadn't held this session. And what I did in that, I started this somewhere towards the end of that half a day when we were talking about our problems and how to better understand each other and how to cooperate better. I made a proposal, a chemical industry proposal, that we form a chemical industry research institute, whether we get together and learn each other better, and that we would work on funding for the chemical science and engineering. And several of the professors were very opposed to that, because they thought they already had, you know, they really didn't understand what we were trying to do. They thought we were only trying to come up with funding to fund those things that we were specifically interested in, not any, and just eliminate all the basic research. That's what they kind of got in their minds. And, I see how that is possible. And some of them got very unhappy about this, were very opposed to anything like this. In fact, one professor got so unhappy that he gave word he didn't want Dow recruiting on their campus anymore. But that same professor, after being explained later what was happening, showed you people were pretty sincere, I think. This lack of understanding became a very important part of CCR later. But it's just a matter of, in these annual meetings we have, starting with the one there, which was all more than suspicion, they're on both sides. You know, my people, I invited a lot of my research people to the dinners and luncheons. And I would say 90% of those had no respect whatsoever for for university research. Mm-hmm. And they so expressed themselves, a lot of those professors. I wouldn't give you the time of day. And they picked this up. And, frankly, earlier, felt a little bit the same way. But I felt we had to... I knew there's a lot of good people out there. And I think it's somewhat true. A lot of people are so isolated, they don't even know what to hardly to work on.
Could I interrupt or ask a question at this point before we continue? DuPont has had a long history of bringing academic consultants in. Was Dow doing that, or had?
Oh yeah. We've had consultants for years. But you see, a very special field. You see, DuPont have got very special schools, very good schools. They pick and choose. So did Dow. And certain professors who are good and who work closely. But this is a very select group.
Okay.
And that's fine. But, you see, we've got a membership now of 164 university PhD granting schools. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, and 99% of the professors, never been around an industry. You know. So, and some of the people who were opposed to what we were proposing were some of those best consultants. But they felt like that what we were going to do is try to get the money and then dole it out to those people that didn't deserve it. And that would cut them off of what they'd worked hard to get some of this backing, like you're talking about, from DuPont, Dow, other companies. And here all of a sudden we were trying to figure a way to gouge them out of it and kind of disperse it around. And now we were going to disperse it around somewhat. We wanted to get everybody involved. There's a lot of good researchers out there that don't have much opportunity to get exposed, and we want to get everybody involved. And we think practically every university in the nation is now a member of CCR. Occasionally we run across one that I never heard of, you know, but they're practically every one of them member. And what they like about it is this associating and talking with their counterparts in industry. The money we give, they have to pay a small membership fee of $1,000, but in return they get their way paid, two of them, maybe three of them, maybe four of them, paid to this annual meeting, plus they get some money back for their, and this money is discretionary money, the money that they can do whatever they want to with. It's completely free to them. So that's only the funding we do personally. Now, we don't take credit for this as CCR as such, but since CCR is formed, the funding from industry, chemical industry and related companies, to the chemistry and chemical engineering departments have almost doubled in the period of time since 79-80. It was about 10 or 12 million, and now it's up around 25 million. Now, we can't take personal credit because we want most of the funding to go one-on-one, not through us. But I think we've had a big bearing on that happening. But we don't say we do, but I think we can take a lot of satisfaction in that happening. Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's go back to that first meeting again. Did you see any change in attitudes during the course of those 2.5 days?
Yes, somewhat, but not very much, because for 2 days we talked technology. We didn't get into any. We just sat and listened. Where the thing really began, that disturbed a lot of people because we didn't have any chemistry speakers. But the last half day is when we really got into the problems, where people could speak their piece and stir them up. And I made my proposal and that kind of thing. And then we didn't have enough time left to really find out. The second meeting is where we really... What I proposed was we form this institute. And number two, that we have a follow-up meeting, and I would point a task force. You know, there wasn't anybody there to do it. I was going to personally point a task force, which I did, composed of university people and industry people, and that we would get a sponsor to hold the second meeting, other than Dow. And I would have to work on that and let them know. Well, I appointed a task force. I picked myself. Well, let's see. No, this not the task force, but the, what did I call this? Well, I guess I used the word task force. To see, to arrange for another meeting. And at the same time, we were going to appoint a working task force who were going to take all the questions and answers and problems we ran into. And they were going to meet and digest and come back at the next meeting with a proposal of some sort. They were going to take my proposal, reaction to it, anything they picked up, any of the questions answered and all that, and they were going to study that for a year, and then at the next meeting they would make a proposal to us. Well, I had a hard time for a while getting anybody, any other company, willing to sponsor such a meeting. And then old Bob Lovett of Air Products stepped up and offered to host it. And his boss, chairman of the board of Air Products.
I don't remember.
I know as well as my own name. He was very much behind it, too. See, that's the reason Bob could do what he did, because the chairman of the board was very much in favor of this. So we set a meeting the next fall with Air Products, and we had a task force